Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Keeping your sports day moving as you sit still in traffic. This is the 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery, with Brent Doherty, Mickey Ryan, and Don Davenport.
Powered by the Tennessee Lottery, 4 o'clock hour is here. What does that mean? Well, today it means we're joined by Coach Dave McGinnis. Coach Mac.
Hi, guys. Saw lady.
Hi.
Saw some good work this morning, didn't we?
That was real football practice. I enjoyed it. And the first thing I wanted to do when I got out there, I just wanted to see what type of form and function and how they're going to have the practice organized. And both of these teams, whenever you do this, I've done this as a head coach, I did it as an assistant, you know, you exchange practice schedules way ahead of time, and then you will have, you know, you will have corresponding coaches talk to one another. Like Don's a secondary coach, you know, Mickey, you're the DB coach. You guys would talk. You know, you guys would talk back and forth, the receiver coach from the clubs, to say, here's how we're going to do our individual. What do you want to see? How much do you want to see? How do you want to organize it? But then the head coaches have to get together, and the way practice is set up has to be the same, because if you have your unit periods at a one time and say maybe the team you're playing against have their unit periods at another time in practice, then you have to come to a compromise. These two teams, they're right on mark with what they do every time, and you could see it right from the start, you know, when practice started. Even when they split fields to begin with and went to their individual drills, you could see the individual drills were the same.
Yeah, and there were a lot of fans out there, and I made the comment to you guys, you and the father and everybody that was out there with us, that it was quiet out there, and it was noticeably quiet, and it's because you had two professional franchises getting work done.
They're trying to get work done. I mean, yeah. And I've been involved in it where it was a, you know, fight from the start when you first started, and that's so counterproductive. You get nothing done. Nobody benefits from that. You got a chance to get somebody hurt, and then you're wasting time. I mean, you know, this team spent money for 2 days to come down here and stay, and then you're just wasting time. And that's, you know, time's money in this league, and so you can't do that. I was really impressed with what went on. You know, I liked it that they started practice. You know, the Patriots sent all the rookies over to Mike Vrabel to circle him up and sing happy birthday to him. That was a nice start of practice. It was a nice start of practice when Vrabel was flipping stuff at Brady as soon as he walked out.
Yeah.
And Brady flipped it right back at him.
Yep.
Which was perfect. And it was that was a really well orchestrated practice. I liked it. And I spent most of my time, I was with you guys a lot, and we spent a lot of our times down watching Titans defense against offense from New England. I just wanted to watch Tom Brady practice.
Yeah.
I've been on a practice field with Joe Montana and some of these things. I've practiced on a practice field. You know, it's one thing to compete against him in a game, to see him in a game type situation, but practice, I wanted to watch him.
Practice?
We're talking about practice. So
like you'd think. He looked to me, you know what he looked like? He looked like Tiger Woods in his prime on the driving range. I mean, it's all business. And when he steps out there, every throw's got a purpose. Everything he does has a purpose.
We were watching, you know, just something as simple as gunners and wedges, where it's the people who's going to cover punts in a game. And we watched a Patriots rookie, and you said, okay, look at this guy. He just took on both of those guys. Then Matthew Slater got over there, who's a perennial Pro Bowler and has been in the league forever. You said, watch Slater. He went at one guy and then tried to outrun the other. And you said, that's why he's in the Pro Bowl every year. Something as simple as that can make such a big difference.
Well, it's because he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, you got the rookie up there. I mean, they're working on the double vice, you know, for the on the gunners, and anybody, you can find people in this league, you know, a dime a dozen that can beat single press coverage out there. I mean, you can, athletes, you know, foot athletes and up, but somebody that can beat the double press helps you so much when you're directional punting, and it helps you so much with your coverage. And especially if you have somebody that can beat double press and they have to start designating guys on two levels to be able to take care of one of those guys, that's who you're looking for. But one of the first cardinal rules is you don't go try to split them because that's where they're the strongest. You know, because you got two sets of shoulder pads just slamming you in the face. So you try to pick on one, you try to out physical one, and then outrun the other. And you saw Matthew Slater step up there after that rookie, you know, looked like he stuck his head in a vise and just stood there, you know, looked like a calf caught in a catch chute, getting ready to get branded.
Yeah.
And then
a barrage of imagery.
Oh yeah. Well, he did. I mean, he just stuck his head in there and stuck like a calf in a catch chute. We got enough people out here to know what that is.
Or branded.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But Slater steps up there and worked on one guy, then made a move and went down. And that's what I love watching, those details of practice.
And it's that little stuff, literally, that's how some guy's going to make the team. It's because he's the best punt gunner, and they're going to keep his butt to play special teams. I mean, that is, it seems like such a small detail in practice, but somebody will land on the team because the way he plays special teams, more than one somebody will.
Yeah, special teams are fascinating when you start coaching them. They really are. It's fascinating. It's an acquired skill. Mm-hmm. When I first got in the league, you know, because there was no salary cap or free agency, you could keep six or seven guys that have 4, 5, 6 year vets, that's all they did. Yep. They were really good backups because they knew your scheme, but they were proficient. They were professional special teams players. It takes a lot to coach kids to play special teams coming out, because most of your kids that are drafted, even your free agents, they were the top dog where they came from. And guess how many special teams they played? None.
How much
or
did
not
it,
since freshman
not
year.
Since their freshman yeah. year, right, Don?
How much did it benefit the Titans secondary from going through all those reps with Tom Brady? Because Tom was moving through those things quickly. They were getting
a lot
done.
Look, if you're playing zone defense against Tom Brady in practice, I mean, it's like shooting ducks in a barrel. I mean, because that's just what it is. And then you know that, but it's great to work against that. Mm-hmm. Because just the other day, the things that we were talking about, and I was standing with you and Mickey talking to you about directional delivery keys, and I started laughing with Rhett standing there because he was with us the other day, and I said, wait till Brady comes out here and watch what he does. Very first throw he made, he threw his shoulder one way and then came back and fired it the other, and I went, it only took him one throw. And here he was. But no, it's invaluable, and that's why you have to do it. And when you approach it like that, you approach it that you're getting 2 days of valuable work and getting to test yourself against the best. I mean, Tom Brady, I mean, I was watching him. As I said, I've been on a practice field with Joe Montana. He was like that. I've been on a practice field with Jim McMahon. He was all business when he was on the practice
all
field.
All business.
All business. And when you watch these guys, I mean, it's amazing. I don't know, what do you have to wait, 5 years when you decide you're not playing anymore before you go in the Hall of Fame?
Yep.
Brady, it's the day he walks off the field, he can say, y'all put me in, and they will.
So your take, overall, I guess, media take was inconsistent offensively from the Titans at today's practice. You always preach to me, you can't just sit and watch one practice and say that that's the end-all, be-all of where this team is. But your take offensively on Marcus, on Tannehill, on what the Titans offensively did against the Patriots' D.
Okay. I watched our defense mostly today.
Oh, okay.
But of what I did see, and I said this going in because I had watched the Patriots against Detroit, you know, in the preseason ball game. And I said, this will be a good look for our offense because they're going to see looks they have not seen before. And this secondary that New England brought in here, they're really good.
Yeah.
They are really good, and they can do – you talk about – I mean, these are the two bogey kings of the world out here that we're watching, you know, both of these teams.
These secondaries.
Yes, these secondaries. They really are. Yeah. And so I saw just some glimpses. I thought Taywan Taylor had a great day today.
Yes, he did.
I saw Marcus make some beautiful throws to him. Mm-hmm. I saw Marcus be short on some throws. I saw both quarterbacks be a little uncertain because they weren't sure what they saw pre-snap, post-snap.
Right.
But that's the type of work you need against these people. And what Belichick's defenses have always been so great at, and Dean Pease is too, and Belichick's defense is even further advanced because these guys have been together a little longer, you know, is they will have different numbers standing different places. So your identification, it's got to be immediate, and your identification has got to be instant. But, you know, I wouldn't say inconsistent, but I would say this, it's a test. It's a real test, and that's what you want.
So the rep where very first snap, Marcus drops back in team drills at the end of practice. He drops back. He kind of double pumps, and Darius Jennings is open in the middle of the field, and he throws it in the dirt.
That was play action crosser. I mean, he got to throw it now.
So Did they give him something he didn't think that he would see? Was he confused, do you think, when he got top of his drop?
I would have to. I'd be lying if I said I just camera shuttered it and saw it that quick.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I did see, I do know that if when something like that usually happens to a quarterback, somebody has flashed and buzzed in front of that dude that made him hitch. And then when he did throw, he hurried his throw and it was too low.
Coach Dave McGinnis brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've got you covered. Two more segments coming up with Dave McGinnis. You want to ask a question? You know he loves to answer them. 615-737-1045. Great HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Hanging out with Coach Mack. You want to hang out with us? You want to win Tennessee or Vanderbilt football season tickets? Join 1045 The Zone Thursday night, August 29th, for our college football kickoff party at Corner Pub downtown on 5th Avenue. Come watch all the Thursday night kickoff games and the Titans preseason finale on the giant 50-inch LED TV wall and over 20 75-inch TVs. You must be present to win the season tickets, so join us at Corner Pub downtown on 5th Avenue, Thursday, August 29th. We will be at that location tomorrow.
Yeah, so if you're going to the Queen concert, stop by, just park there. Come by, hang out.
And we're giving away Queen tickets.
Giving away Queen tickets, so you can just go over.
So we go to Corner Pub, you win.
Block and a half away from Bridgestone Arena. Somebody brought up Coach Mack, Randall Cunningham, earlier, because I went through this thing where maybe we should just turn Marcus loose and just let him run for like 900 yards this year. And somebody brought up Randall Cunningham. And just looking back through his numbers and of course, visualizing some of these ridiculous highlights, you coached against him, but that guy almost ran for 1,000 yards 1 year.
Yeah, I mean,
almost 5,000 for his career.
Yeah. I saw him run for 1,000 yards in one Pro Bowl that I coached out there when we had him. He was such a tremendous athlete. He really was. But as I say, when Randall dropped back, he really had no plan about what he was going to do, and nobody else knew what he was going to do, and you didn't know on defense what he was going to do, but he was an extraordinary athlete and a great competitor, and, I mean, we used to have some really big games, you know, against him, and, I mean, the year I coached in the Pro Bowl, he was our quarterback for the NFC, and it was crazy. I mean, it really was. And throw it, I mean, he could throw it forever.
He had a real long delivery, but man, he could whip it.
Whew. I mean, just tremendous athlete. I mean, it was, yeah, Randall can't be handled. That's what we called him.
So what would you try to do against them?
Well, you had to have a spy on him, but the problem with spying Randall, see, most of the times, and then you had to, we did what you call fish hook him. You know, we would set up a rush that would force him to go one way. And then we would have our spy go that way to cut him off. But if you stood your spy in the middle of a formation and you gave him a two-way go on you, it was over. Because, I mean, he'd stick that foot in the ground, and, I mean, you're breaking ankles, you know, on one move, and then he's gone. So we would fish hook him, which means you'd overload a side, force him to one side, and then have your spy designated. That's where you're going to get him. I mean, you try to pin him. You know, it's kind of like catching a chicken in the backyard. You got to get him up against a fence first. You can't give him the whole yard to run in. And so that's what we would do with him. I mean, that, you know.
Yeah, such long strides, dude.
He could eat stripes, brother. I mean, it was not fun. It was not fun.
It's interesting because the Patriots, to a man, every person, every player that talked about this practice said, you know, we don't have an offense like this, so this is good for us because we're seeing something completely different than what we see every day. That's that deal where the Bears are going to play the Eagles in that case. We didn't necessarily play them every year, but you're probably going to face them in the playoffs. But that's a whole lot of prep because that guy did stuff that nobody else could do. That was a different thing than you were going to see from most other human beings.
Well, it was like all the years I was here against Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a defensive playbook that we added on to year after year, but we had a separate playbook for the Colts, you know, for Peyton, and then the way you had to play it. And so when you played Randall, because of some of the things that they did and some of the things that he did, you would have a separate pressure package for Randall because, I mean, I can still just remember it. I mean, we'd use what we call a cage rush, and we'd tell our defensive ends, if you get even with the quarterback, you're wrong. Just mush it back, yes, and just wait, you know. So anyway, yeah, exceptional athlete.
You told us a story about Barry Sanders where you basically said, if you miss him, just wait. He will come back to you. In the NFL, it's pretty amazing, though, if somebody has such a skill set that you would literally have to coach differently against that guy. To stand out on an NFL field like that is pretty amazing.
Well, because remember, the guys that you have chasing these athletes, they're not those guys that they're, I mean, their thigh pads aren't flapping in their pants. I mean, they're dudes that are athletes too. Yeah. And so whenever you've got some of those guys will sit up and take notice that we've got to do something special against this person. And those guys don't come along very often, but when they do, you can recognize them immediately. I mean, you don't have to be in person to recognize it. You can see it. You can see it on tape once you put it on.
Jeffrey Simmons, in watching him progress, because when, you know, they come out and they work on their own field, and obviously we can't take pictures or anything like that, but we see what we see. And the first few days he came out and stretched, then we saw he and some of those guys run in a straight line, and now we're starting to see him run and cut a little bit. You don't want to overdo it with a guy like that, Coach, but how do you keep from just wanting him on the field?
No.
How do you control that?
No.
How do you do it?
No, you have to, because you know what's best for him.
Yeah.
You know what's best for him. We did it with Todd Gurley, you know, when we drafted him.
Right.
The Rams.
There's another freak.
We set him for 9 games, and we set him, and he wanted to play, and no, you don't, because this is a long-term thing. I tell you what, though, that he introduced himself to me in the building. You know, I was there, and he was coming out from doing the thing, and he just personally standing up. This kid is massive. I mean,
and a ridiculous athlete.
This kid is massive. I mean, just thick and just, I mean, when you watch him, you go, okay. Because when you watch him on tape, and I remember early on watching him doing the draft, would watch him, and I'd say, this guy's fairly violent, and he's knocking everybody back. Mm-hmm. Like he's starting. He's exactly what you want. He's exactly what you want. But when you meet him in person, and just that's the first time I'd ever talked to him in person. You know, I'd grinded a lot of tape on him, but I mean, the guy is massive.
Another guy that's massive that is now back out there, AJ Brown. And I know you watched a lot of defense today, so probably didn't watch a lot of him. But just from a timetable standpoint, when you look at a guy like that, a rookie working on a hamstring, coming off of a hamstring. What do you expect to see from him from a progression standpoint in the preseason for him to have to be ready to contribute week one? Is that a third preseason game, fourth preseason game time? What do you think?
It's from right now, Dawn, and what you have to do, you have to look him in the eye just like I'm looking you in the eye right now and say, look, when you come back out, here's what I want you to do. I'm talking about in practice. And here's the tempo I want you to go at, and here's what I want you to do, because – you have to, and especially, you know, he's out here now against the Patriots. Everybody's a little juiced up, wanting to go. You've got to protect him from himself a little bit. Mm-hmm. But here's what you do. You've got to be sure that anytime somebody's coming back from a soft tissue injury, you were a college athlete, you know this. A lot of times you're well, but you don't trust it yet because you remember how it felt when it went. And then you don't want that feeling again. Okay. I mean, you just don't want it, you know, as an athlete, but you do want to get out there. So you have to tell him how to temper himself. But if he can stay on point from this point on, then he'll be ready to go. But he's got to trust what the trainers, what Todd's telling him, what Mike Vrabel's telling him, what Rob Moore's telling him. And then as he's trusting what they're telling him at the pace they want him to go, he's also got to start working his craft now, because as diligent as he has been, you still need to be on the field. And especially your first year. But he's got time. If he can stay on track from now, Dawn, until we get ready to line up against the Cleveland Browns, then he'll be okay.
3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Another segment here with Coach Dave McGinnis, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. They got you covered. Let's go to the phones right quick. John in the Burrows got a question for Coach Mack. John, say hello to Coach Dave McGinnis.
Hey, Coach Mack.
John, how you doing, man?
Oh, doing great, doing great. Do me a favor, tell Steve Kazord that a couple of his son's fraternity brothers said hello.
The Razor, man. Razor. Razor was my guy there in Chicago. You know, I'm telling you what, Ditka loved Steve Kazord. You know, he brought Kazord with him when he got that job at Chicago from the Cowboys. And then Kays, you know, was a special teams coach and also worked with the tight end some. And plus, you know, Kays is was not as tall as Mike Ditka was, and Kays not as tall as most people are, But Ditka would smoke cigars that were taller than most 3-year old children. I mean, they're huge cigars. And to see Kay's walking with one of Ditka's cigars in his mouth next to Ditka, it was perfect. Kazar's a good dude.
Got a quick question for
yes.
you about these inner team practices that we see. And obviously I get Vrabel and John Robinson's connection with the Patriots and everything. But what kind of planning goes into that? How do you decide if you want to practice with a team? What kind of things happen at those practices? What's off limits? Seems like it gives a lot away to maybe somebody you may or may not play later on in the season. And so what's the advantage to that versus the disadvantages?
Hey, John, thank you for the call. That's a great question. And look, the planning that goes into this, I've done it as a head coach. I've done it as an assistant. It's extensive planning that goes on in the off season. You look at it because you set your own preseason games. You set your own preseason games, and so you try to match up as to whenever either you may travel and going to be someplace and stay practice for 2 days, you know, before the game, have a day to yourself, and then go play the game, or somebody's coming to you. But what you do, the head coaches first of all get together. And then your ops people have to get together because there's a lot of things. I mean, you've got to feed two teams now. You've got to find a lot of things. You have to be able. Everybody in the organization has to be involved in it. And then, as I was telling these guys in one of our earlier segments, you break down by specific position coaches. They will call one another. But the main thing is what you're looking for. You're looking for those types of teams that. And now these two teams match up so perfect because I mean they're so symbiotic. They're so close in what they do, you know, together, the way these programs are run. And then plus you've got two head coaches that are very comfortable in their own skins and they can run it. They run it. It's going to be all business. What you don't want is you don't want something that's so adversarial. You want it competitive, but you don't want it adversarial. But the planning that goes in, it starts in the off season, and it's extensive planning to pull it off because it's extremely, extremely important because, you know, teams don't want to come and spend money to stay somewhere and then waste time fighting or waste time trying to figure out what the schedule is once you get there. These are all very well planned out, and you're going to see more and more of this in the future, especially if they start to push towards two preseason games. You will see much, much more of this and the concentrated work that you can get because you can orchestrate matchups. You can orchestrate matchups. You can orchestrate personnel groups. You know, I can say, Brent, look, this, I would like for you the first 5 plays of this group unit, you know, I would like to see 4 under 3 deep coverage. Can you do that for me? Sure, I can. Okay, then the next time, so you reciprocate and say, look, I would like to see this player against this player. In other words, you know, I'd like to see this for a few snaps. And then your defensive line, offensive line get together. Look, one side we will work one-on-one pass rush. The other side we can work 2-man games pass rush. You can also double up and run drills back-to-back where you can get double the work, which is tremendous, tremendous to do. There's a lot of planning that goes into it, but it is well worth it. I enjoyed every bit of everything I ever did when we worked against teams. And I've been overseas working against teams. Worked against the Vikings in Gutenberg, Sweden. Worked against the 49ers in Berlin for a week. I mean, it's very, very beneficial if it's run right and plus if the tempo is set right by the head coach.
It was choreographed so well today.
Oh,
it
yeah.
looked like they had been doing this for 2 weeks.
Yes, it was.
Like this was the 10th time they had done it.
I really liked the organization. Yeah. I liked it. I loved seeing it. It was crisp. It was moving. Everything was programmed. They knew exactly where to go. And I told you guys in here, and I'll tell our listeners, I mean, you could tell just by the way, when they split the teams to work on their individual early on, you could look around and watch the two individual groups work on opposite ends of the field and go, oh, okay. I mean, these groups are pretty synced up.
Coach Mack with us, talking Titans football, 615-737-1045. There's a young guy out there that I love to watch. I love to watch the secondary communicate and do their thing. But I've really been intrigued by, and I keep getting locked in on this dude, Rashawn Evans. Looks like an 8-year vet to me.
He's not there yet.
Coach Mack is like, hold it down.
Relax.
He's not there yet, but he had a nice day today.
He did.
And it was good for him today, and let me tell you why, Brent. I like that you brought that up because that's a nice point. They're running some different runs. New England is out of 2-back sets. They got true 21 personnel, mm-hmm. which is 2 running backs, 1 tight end, 2 wide receivers. And they run a lot of motion. They run a lot of what we call counter OF. In other words, where they'll start the tailback out of the dot one way and wind the fullback back from an offset one way and pull the backside guard. For backers behind the line of scrimmage, that guard ball triangle read is crucial. That's critical. It's a whole different set of read, and it's a whole different set of eye training that you use on teams that are running those counter OFs, those types of plays, than it is on outside zone teams. Because outside zone, basically, you know, what you're doing is going downhill, flat hitting the lineman, and then holding your spot. This takes some reads, and it takes some remove. And if you can get, you know, early, what we call early rabbit keys on it, you can get ahead of those blocks coming back around, because it's all timing and it's all spacing on those counter gap plays. They run them very, very well. He made a real nice read on one today that I saw,
yeah.
And which the more that he can see those types of things, those are the types of things he missed from his rookie year, not being able to see it. So for him, this is his first training camp. But to be able to work against an offense as proficient as this, and especially a running game that's as varied as this is and different for a little bit from what he's been seeing, to read that guard ball triangle, it's really good stuff for him. This kid, he's a good, good player. And the other thing I like about him, when he comes downhill.
Yes.
This guy doesn't float. He's not a floater. When he sees something, he comes downhill, and he's bringing some steam.
I made a note, actually, about Rashawn Evans. He had a similar read and react on a run play on Philadelphia's first series in the game that you actually noted during the broadcast.
Same one.
Yeah.
Same exact one. But that tells me that he's trained his eyes. And he's playing with his brights on now. All right? He's not playing with his dims. He's playing with his bright lights on now, which is, I mean, it's just like it is. You drive down a country road with your dims on, you can drive it, but you got to slow down a little bit because you never know. You put the brights on, you got a chance to see where everything's coming from. And this is what this kid's learning to do. I like the player. I love the player coming out of college. It made me sick to my stomach when he missed his first training camp, because I just knew how valuable it was for him. And plus, it's a big ups and props to him for as hard as he's worked on it. And it's big props to Tyrone McKenzie, how hard he's worked with him.
You mentioned Taywan Taylor having a nice bounce-back day, and that's been documented. There are going to be ups and downs over the course of a training camp. It's a long time, and a preseason is a long time in the grand scheme of things. You're talking about over a month and four, you know, what, six total weeks or seven before it's all said and done. That's a great job of the staff. You mentioned this earlier. I think we were talking about this off-air. They kept him engaged. They built him back up. And then you see what he does to go out today when he's got a chance to make these plays.
Well, that's what coaching is. I mean, it's what, you know, coaching is not just telling a guy what to do and then yelling at him if he doesn't do it. That's not coaching. And that's not coaching at all. I mean, you have to figure out, you know, where the player is, what he needs, how can you help him. And again, when you're doing something as visible as the National Football League is, both as a player and a coach, there are going to be some times when you're going to be criticized. You're going to have to learn how to bounce back from the criticisms. Plus, the coach's job is to help the player get over that hump and get back to where he can do some things that, and I was very, very proud of him. But as I say, that's big ups to Rob Moore, the receiver coach. That's big ups to Arthur Smith to continue to dial plays up for him.
Right.
You know, and he had a nice day today. He had a really nice day today at practice.
It's like falling off a horse, man. You got to get back on the horse.
I've been thrown off of so many horses.
I figured you had. But you got to get right back on.
Well, you got no chance if you don't. You're going to have to walk, and that's not fun.
Especially not across West Texas.
No.
Not a lot of mesquite trees.
Coach, we have been talking about this, and a lot of listeners have brought it up to us and have called in about it. But Blake Bedingfield and Greg Cassell, obviously, their jobs are to sit there and watch film and break down footwork and everything else. That's what they've done their whole life. That's what they're good at. But some Titans fans are wondering about some of their comments on Marcus Mariota and basically his lack of proper footwork that they saw in preseason game number one. Now, we've talked a little bit about the throw to Darius Jennings, and I had asked you off air about it. You know, hey, Charles Davis put it on Darius Jennings. I put it on Marcus. You said there's a little bit of blame to go around here, but your thoughts there, and I know you're not sitting there studying Marcus's footwork, so to speak, just watching film or grinding film on that, but just wanted your take on it because a bunch of our listeners are asking, hey, ask Coach Mack.
He was late on the throw.
Yeah.
He was late with the throw, and it was coming off a stretch boot play. That stretch boot steps up behind the tackle, and he was late on the throw. The throw was open before he threw it. Now, as far as the footwork, I mean, it may have been improper on that play. I mean, but the throw was late. And I think that's probably the first thing that Arthur Smith told him when they got in the film room. This thing's got to be thrown, bam, on time. Because, look, just operate the offense. Yeah. Just operate the offense. And so on that one throw, and then, but that's again, that's what coaching's about, and that's what players do, is they correct what they've done wrong, and that's what you need to do.
And you're less worried about footwork, as your thing is just operate the offense.
Operate the offense, and footwork is extremely important. I mean, because
get the ball out.
Yeah, get the ball out. I mean, your footwork is extremely important. Just like I was talking about Rashawn Evans with his eyes. I mean, you know, every position is different, you know, with the fundamentals that you have to do, but you need to master the fundamentals of your craft to be able to accelerate your craft. You know, just like I say on defense, you know, a lot of it, you know, when you're playing second, third level, you've heard me say several times, so of our listeners, it's always eyes before feet. You got to train your eyes first. Well, you know, your footwork on different throws has to become automatic, and then your timing needs to be automatic.
It's Coach Dave McGinnis, Farm Bureau Health Plans. Coach, you headed to see Father Ed right now?
Yes. Yes, I am. I told him I would be at Mass, and he said, you need it. See you, guys.
See you, Coach.
Thanks, Coach Mack.
Got to be there by 5. Let's let Coach Mack roll.